Hi Singapore, you're watching episode 15 of SG Sports Uncut. I'm your host Raj Kumar, and Uncut is the show that brings you closer to our Team Singapore athletes and officials. On today's show, we throw the spotlight on 10-pin bowling. Now in the last 10 to 15 years, our national athletes have surpassed expectations and created history on several occasions. So to hear more of their stories, let's join now with our friends from Singapore Bowling. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 15 of SG Sports Uncut. President of Singapore Bowling, Jesse Pua, will start this discussion with you. And it's the end of 2 months of 2020. What's the latest happenings at your NSA?
You know, 2020 has been a very challenging year for not just Singapore Bowling, I think for the world.
Yeah.
So we're coping as best as we can. At the end of the day, I guess it is common sense prevails. Just do what is needful.
For the COVID virus, you mean?
Yes, as far as the COVID virus is concerned, it's just common sense, you know. Mm. It just heightened the need for better hygiene. Mm. And you know, stay healthy. Don't fall victim to the COVID-19, you know, scare. Mm. Live life normally and as healthily as you can.
Okay. And besides the virus, SG Bowling also hosted your annual awards and a Lunar New Year dinner celebration recently. We also saw Ariane Tay being named the Youth Bowler of the Year. So what can you say about this Secondary 4 student from Methodist Girls' School?
We are over the moon with this new crop of young bowlers that are, you know, coming hot at the heels of our senior bowlers.
Right.
It's a happy problem to have good, strong emerging bowlers. It's so comforting and heartwarming for us to know that we definitely are on the right track. Our feeder system is working well. Yeah. And as president of Singapore Bowling, I cannot ask for more, possibly.
Yeah, sure, lots to expect from her, Ariane Tay.
And it's just not her.
You know,
it's a whole bunch of them, all literally just coming out of the woodworks, if you pardon the word. Mm-hmm. And they're doing such amazing progress on international fronts. The most important thing is that they're not intimidated by the field, and that's what we want. Skills, you know, bowling is a skill acquiring sport. We can impart the skills quite easily. Heart, we can't give to them. Heart has to come from within, and this crop is amazing.
Nice. Let's hear now from the men's national team coach, Helmi Chiu. Staying with the awards night, Sid Allen was presented with the outstanding contribution to the sport of 10-pin bowling. So from one coach to another, what can you say about Sid Allen's impact in Singapore?
Yeah, well, I think he has brought a lot of things to Singapore bowling. From the start, for example, our coaching courses. So he did all the level 1, level 2, level 3s, and now we're coming out with the level 4s, and then in the future, possibly level 5s. So with all these coaching certification programs, so it helps to build the number of coaches in Singapore.
Yeah.
And so with more qualified coaches, this way they can groom more qualified bowlers. Mm. And then so it just gets, you know, and so our base will get broader with all these qualified coaches, and then it just makes its way to the top.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We now come to the award, Bowler of the Year. And I'm assuming there was just there wasn't a candidate strong enough to beat Sherry Tan for the title.
Yeah, I think if you look at Sherry's achievements throughout 2019 alone,
yeah,
I think so. if you were to write down the achievements, it would be about this long. Yeah, okay. So I think she did well right in the beginning of the year with second position AIK, which is in Sweden.
Right.
Then right after that, she went second again in Finland for the Brunswick World Masters. And then in the middle of the year, she did well in the World Women's Championship, where she won the Masters.
Mm.
Following that, right after that, she went to the Players' Championship, and where she won the PWBA Tour in Players.
Mm.
And then to sum it up, towards the end of the year, then she did well in SEA Games, a team event, she was part of the team.
Mm.
And she also won the Storm Dominoes Cup, which is a very, very strong competition where most of the PBA bowlers were around in that tournament, and she won it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was definitely her year, 2019.
I guess you would say a near contender would be our friend here.
Yeah.
New Hui Fen, because she won 3 SEA Games gold medals just 3 months ago in Manila. Hui Fen, welcome to the show. How do you feel about your teammate Sherry and all of her accomplishments that are, you know, help me just summarize? How do you feel?
I'm very happy for her. I feel like out of everyone on the team, she deserves it the most. Mm-hmm. She's the most hardworking, and her work ethics is just super strong. Yeah, she's, you know, the phrase where I say like preparation meets opportunity, that's where success comes, right? Mm. Sherry is living that.
She's the epitome of that.
Yeah, she's always prepared.
Okay.
Always.
And winning the accolade of World Bowler of the Year. It's the first time that World Bowling, which is the governing body of the sport around the world, they named a Singaporean as the winner just a few weeks ago. How did you feel when you heard the news?
When they first announced the nomination, I was damn excited. I keep asking my friends and family to vote for her. Okay. Yeah, because the winning is based on voting, so
yeah.
We had to get as many people as possible. So when she won, I was very happy.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Jesse, were you quietly expecting Sherry to win this international accolade?
This is just the icing on the cake. I think the satisfaction of Sherry to be able to, you know, round off such a sterling year, I think for her that is the most awesome award she can ever get for all her years of dedication and determination. In our team meeting, Guifun will attest to this, I always single Sherry out as the most, you know, dedicated, committed bowler. Her pre-shot routine, if you ever see her at any competition, it is clockwork. She never ever waver. Yeah. And she's that steady an athlete. And so for her to be named Athlete of the Year, well, that really is the icing on the cake.
Okay. So Jesse, then what does the World Bowler of the Year Award actually mean for Singapore bowling?
It is very heartwarming. To know that we have worked so hard all these years, and to now be recognized, to have one of our bowler recognized, acknowledged as the Bowler of the Year, but more importantly, I think it showed that Singapore, this little red dot, is actually quite a powerhouse in the bowling world. All the years of hard work by our coaches, by the athletes, by the supporting staff, as well as support from the parents, have not been in vain. So, wow, it's really such an incredible moment for us.
Yeah. Guifun, how would you describe the year you had in 2019, especially when you had the chance to compete in the US PWBA circuit in 6 different cities? Of course, the PWBA is the Women's Professional Bowling Association. Yeah. So, to compete in 6 cities in the United States.
I feel very lucky, and it's all possible because of the SPEC scholarship as well, because of the funding, and through all these PWBA competitions, we get to really learn. Like, the learning curve is just super steep. That's where I'll find out about my flaws and how do I work on it and improve as a bowler.
And of course, you get to compete with some of the best names in the world, not only from the United States.
Yeah.
And from the US Pro Circuit, you also competed in the World Championships.
Yeah.
How would you summarize your campaign in Las Vegas about 8 months ago?
For the Worlds, to be honest, I think the performance was good, but the ball selection and the equipment selection wasn't great on my part. Like, I was a bit short-sighted. Yeah, that's about it.
Sorry, how do you define short-sighted?
Like,
for the benefit of our viewers.
I was only focusing on the latest balls, the newer balls that released, and
okay.
I forgot to like consider other balls of a certain range that might fill up certain gaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these are the balls that you bring along, or they are provided?
They are drilled in the US because while we were training there. We were actually trained there like 2 weeks before Worlds, and then we drilled all the bowling balls there.
On the local front, you finished in second place in the 51st Singapore International Open when you lost to your counterpart Bernice Lim in the step ladder final by only one single pinfall. I was there, just next to you. How did it feel losing by just one pinfall?
I think, yeah, I did lose. Obviously, I wanted to win, but I think, like what Mrs. Poh said earlier, if I came in second and if I came in first, my mentality after Singapore Open might be very different. Because I came in second, so I'm going to work a lot harder to be first the next time around. So I think it was a blessing that I got second.
Yeah. Anyway,
am I allowed to share that story to you? And I don't know whether this is appropriate, so you know, feel to. When I'm so immensely proud of her.
Yeah.
So immensely proud, not because of what she has achieved this past year. when she did not make the cut for the Asian Games, she came to see me and she wanted to go to compete in PWBA at her own expense, and I refused. I rejected it. She didn't take it, you know, sitting down. She went home, she worked on it, she came back with a proper folder with proposal how she's going to, through participating in PWBA, work towards, you know, bringing her game up to the level that is deserving of a national team place. And I was most impressed, but I turned to her and said, I'm sorry, Fern, you're still not allowed to go. And so she said, I'm paying my own way, why am I not allowed to go? I said, I'm sorry, Wei Fern, you have to feel the pain of being, of missing the cut.
Oh, okay.
You have to feel the pain of missing the cut, because I like to see you come back more determined, stronger. And she was amazing. She was at the airport to send off the team. She didn't hold a grudge. She put her head down and she worked herself to right back to the top. I'm so proud of her. In Manila, I almost cried, okay?
Yeah. Not you almost cried. I think you were in tears for quite a few times during it. So you're talking about missing the cut for the 2018 Asian Games.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
She came back stronger. So, you know, she was able to crank up the hunger level. And I think that's what Singapore athletes, not just Singapore bowlers, that's what Singapore athletes need. To be able to crank up the hunger level, because that will bring in, you know, unexpected, you know, energy, commitment, ability to bring it to the finish line faster, higher, and stronger. We have it in us. It's just that, have you been able to call it up, you know, when you need it? And and she has been one of those amazing ones. I'm so immensely proud of her.
Great job, Wipin. Congrats. Coach Helmy, apart from the SEA Games in December, did our men's team manage to secure one or two significant results on the overseas circuit?
I think we finished 1-5 in Dubai. And then after that we did extremely well in the Asian Youth Championship. I think the men and the boys and the girls team did extremely well in Kuching for the Asian Youth.
Okay.
That way they finished number one country among all the participating countries.
Right.
Yeah, which is an amazing result.
Okay. And now that we are in 2020, what is the men's team presently up to in the first quarter?
Okay, I think as everybody know, a lot of tournaments have been cancelled in Southeast Asia. So far, the one that we are going to is in Dubai, for you know, on the 9th of March in Dubai.
So that's still on?
They're still on.
Okay.
So far, touch wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with this virus going on, as days goes by, we never know how what will happen. So I think our first up will be in Dubai for the men's team. Yeah.
Okay. Jesse, let's touch on the school scene. And as of 2020, how many schools in Singapore have bowling as a CCA apart from the Singapore Sports School?
I would say we're safely in the 30-40 range, 30-40, minimum.
Okay.
Because we all break. It's too large a group to have under one roof at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've broken them into different segments, different categories. It is something that we hold dear to our heart. Youth development program is very important for us. So it's to create opportunities out there so that we can still attract and troll and keep, you know, in our radar bowling enthusiasts. And you never know, something might, you know, a spark might go off and there comes your next world champion. So it's really growing the breadth and the depth of our sport that is very important.
Right.
And it is showing the result because if you don't have a very, you know, energized, very lively youth development program, the writings are on the wall for that sport.
Okay. I'm assuming most of the schools that have bowling as a CCA, they don't have their own bowling alley. So where do school students generally go to train, and how does your NSA help in that particular
aspect? I think from the word go, it has always been our goal to actually bring everybody level up, sharing information. I think professionalizing the field of coaches out there. So I dare say we are one of the few NSAs in Singapore who are committed to not just, you know, helping our own national coaches to increase and expand their knowledge, but actually the entire field. We share this with all the bowling coaches out there. It is in our favor, and you know, it makes sense that everybody knows what is the latest development out there, challenge each other on how else we can do better. And so, you know, we help our commercial bowling academies to be better coaches so that they can bring in more students, and we are actually on the on the receiving end of better athletes coming into the national squad. So it's win-win for all. It's a thriving ecosystem out there, and the NSA gets definitely better quality athletes when they come into the national squad.
Okay. Huifen, how often do you and your fellow athletes get to conduct and assist in workshops or clinics with students?
With students directly, not much. But for the upgrading for coaches, we attend them as well as bowlers.
Okay.
Yeah, and if any local coaches have any questions regarding bowling balls or certain training methods, they usually ask us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the NSA doesn't really go to schools to do.
No, we do not go. We do not have a roadshow, so to speak, to school to help to boost up the enrollment. Honestly, it is by word of mouth.
And it's been doing well so far.
Well, success attracts you know, more intake. So if we do a better job at the medals front, students think, you know, kids look at it. Let's be very honest. It's air-conditioned comfort. You're not open to the elements. You can train to music. What is there not to like, okay? Unless you get on the national team, then it's a different story altogether. So with all these two, you know, to our advantage, we definitely want to capitalize on it.
Okay. Huifen, at which age does the National Talent Identification System start, and how does a talented student bowler get to be fast-tracked into the national setup?
I'm not sure about the entry age, but I think sports school, right?
Yeah, so I think for now, there's no really a minimum age. But of course, when we select bowlers into the national program, we of course look at the skills.
Okay.
Age doesn't really matter. Okay. Now, at the present moment when they come, what is their skill level?
Right.
Compared to our current bowlers, so how far off are they, or are they higher? So that's where we decide whether we pick the bowler into the national program or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which would you say are the two or three main powerhouses in bowling at schools? For example, in the boys' A division at the national school games?
I think at the A division now, I think a few powerhouses would be like ECJC. I think Singapore Sports School also, because they have the IB program.
Right.
So the bowlers from there compete in the A division. I think ECJC, RJC maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, so these are the few.
You just mentioned the Singapore Sports School. So is the SSP with the rising national star bowlers the perennial champions at the national school games, or can they be beaten as well?
We hope they can be beaten.
Yeah. I think if they are beaten, I think
we hope they can be beaten, because
honestly,
as you may know, we are very strong partners with the sports school.
Yes,
we actually second our national coach to run the sports school program, and we're not going to say we have the best program in Singapore. We like people to come and show us, look, this is how you do it better. So we're not taking success, and relaxed with it. We like to be challenged, because then that's the only way we can get better. So I would love to have the sports school athletes beaten, because then everybody shouldn't get too comfortable.
And like you said, it will inspire them, spur them on.
Absolutely.
To raise their game.
The whole idea is to be more professional about it.
Yeah.
And go back, you know, it's back to the drawing block to see how we can do it better. Obviously, we drop the ball somewhere. And the challenge is, how are we going to do it better so that we're deserving as the national body of bowling in Singapore?
Even if you look through bowling in the schools, right, in the history, right, there's no one school that dominates 3 to 4 years. You know? It's always like sports school, ECSI, you know, or another school, which is a healthy thing, you know. It's like everybody is trying to raise the bar and get better.
Okay.